All right. Well, good morning. Hope everybody is good and full this morning. Everybody good today? All right. Good. Man, I am impressed with these hoverboards over here. Ladies, y'all are doing awesome. All right. Well, last week, my brother Charlie, where's Charlie? There he is. You can find him in the Kentucky Blue. He did an outstanding job teaching, as always, led us through a beautiful passage of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and I got a chance to watch that and just talking about Jesus as our boss. And man, just a timely word that, hey, with power comes service and humility. Man, if the church would just start there, y'all know what I mean when I say the church. Everybody listening back there. The church, not the church at Southside, but the church, right? The global church, the body of Jesus Christ. If we would just start with that very place that Charlie talked about last week, with the power that we have in Jesus, if we would just start with service and humility, man, what an amazing place this world would be. Amen. So, in fact, I want to tell you this, that in today's passage, Jesus actually gives this barometer, if you will, this gauge, gives it to the lost world that, hey, you want to know who my people are, this is what I want you to look for, okay? And so I want you to listen for that as since we are the church, as we go through this passage where he left off last week, this gauge of how the world will know that we are his. All right, so where Charlie left off last week, there's this little small passage in between. And it talks about that Jesus is going to be encountered with that one of his closest friends is about to betray him. One of the closest confidants. I want to ask a question out here this morning, even in the back there. Have you ever been betrayed in your life? Anybody? I'm talking about a family member, a friend, a co-worker, right? Somebody just walked by and said, always, right? Like, it's happened before. Like, we will be betrayed. All right, and so in today's culture, let's just take right now, 2021, right now in today's culture, if you are betrayed, the very first thought that most people have is this: revenge, payback, I'm going to tweet about it, I'm going to just tell the world, I'm going to look out for me, I'm going to get what's mine, right? I mean, you get what I'm saying. Even those of us that are believers, that when we are betrayed, especially by somebody close that should know better, that's the thoughts that well up in that human nature, right? That rules the day. And I'm telling you, if that is prevalent in your heart as a believer, man, take and magnify that times a million in the lost world, right? If you burn me, like, the bridge is done, right? Like, it's over and done, and payback and revenge and all of these things. I want you to go back to the passage that Charlie talked about. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, and then this passage tells us that he looks to Judas and he says these words: what you're about to do, go and do quickly. Now, Jesus knew what Judas was about to do, and Charlie pointed it out last week, that this gives us the timeline that while Jesus is looking his betrayer in the face, he had the opportunity, let's be honest, he had a basin of water. All right, listen, he had a basin of water. He could have taken the water and he could have dumped it on Judas and said, man, enough with you, like revenge, payback. Peter is just this dog, this, you know, attacking dog that he could have put Peter on him and said, take care of this guy, right? He could have turned him over to other disciples. He could have done anything. And all of this, he didn't look for revenge. He didn't look for payback. He didn't even tell the other disciples, like, hey, this is the guy I'm telling you that's going to betray me. Here's what he did. Listen to me, church. I want you to listen. Here is what Jesus did to his betrayer, to the one who would turn him over to authorities. He knelt down with a basin and a towel, and he washed the man's feet. Because we know this. He was there. It says that he had just washed feet. Now he's telling him, go and do what you got to do, but do it quickly. The timeline tells us that he washed Judas' feet. What an example, amen? So here's what we can take away from what Charlie taught last week. I tell you, the easiest job in the world is to follow Charlie teaching because he does such a good job. I can just say, do what Charlie said last week, and then amen, right? We're done. But listen to me. From that passage last week, I just want to point this out. Start right here. that if there is someone you know that has betrayed you, someone you know that has stabbed you in the back, someone you know that has lied to you, done you wrong, cheated, stolen, wash feet. Pray for them. Serve them. Love them. Let me tell you this. It is hard to hate somebody that you are actively serving, praying for, and loving on. Right there. End of story. Don't seek revenge. Don't seek to better them. Don't like celebrate when something bad happens to them. Love them and serve them. Take care of them. I'm telling you, God can do a lot right there. In fact, I just want to point this out. Washington, D.C., if you're listening, I probably just got censored by something, right? We're on Facebook Live. But listen, Washington, D.C., if you're listening, both sides of your beloved aisle, Democrats and Republicans, by the way, neither party represents me. I represent who I'm here to represent, the King of Kings, right? That's who I'm about. I don't care about the others, really. And I'm just telling you, though, what if in Washington, D.C., what if today, breaking news, now this is such a stretch, right? But breaking news that there quit being these fightings between the beloved aisle. You realize that people only vote their party, right? That's all they do. They vote their side of the aisle, and it's such a, you know, just this temporary kingdom mindset. But what if there was one that just was bold enough to walk over from one aisle to the other, and no matter if there was an R or a D in front of their name, bent down and washed feet for the whole world to see? Better yet, what if those same people said, you know what, we're servants of the people. We're going to kneel down and wash the American people's feet. What difference would our world be in, right? Instead of the arguing, the tweeting, and the hate, and all of this stuff that goes on, goodness gracious, I am sick of it. Are you? And we look at Jesus' example and say, well, what would Jesus do? That old saying, well, Jesus would wash feet. And some of us will say this, well, that's great for Jesus because, like Keith, he's Jesus and all. But I'm just me, right? I'm just little old sinner me. I'm just a regular human being. Surely he can't expect the same for me. If you feel that way, or if you're asking those questions, I sure am glad you asked, because I want to read today's scripture, what Jesus has for his church. So it follows this passage. Jesus washes feet. He tells Judas to go and do this thing he's going to do. We get the beautiful timeline that he has now washed Judas' feet and told him to go about his way. And then he sits the disciples down and tells them this. John chapter 13, starting at verse 31. It says, when he had gone out, he's talking about Judas. He sent Judas to do what Judas was going to do. Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this passage. It's one that we've probably heard a million times, especially if we are believers, we are a part of your church, Jesus. We have heard this passage, but I pray, goodness gracious, I pray that if there is ever a time that love needs to lead the way, the church needs to lead the way with love, it is today, right now, in our world. Where else are they going to see it? Going to see it from us. It's not going to come from a lost world. That is revenge. That is payback. That is eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. All of those things. Love leading the way has to come from your bride. That is us in this parking lot. Let it start with us, that we arm ourselves today with even those who have hurt us the most, that we arm ourselves with a basin, a towel, and we just simply wash feet and love and serve others in this city, in this community, in this county, in this state, in this nation, in the world. May we lead the way in loving others well, so that they will know that we are yours, that there is zero doubt Hey, those people know the Lord because of how they love. Jesus, we pray and we ask this in your name. Amen. Man, if you want to know what the church at Southside is about, and I hope that you can tell I'm kind of excited to teach this. This is our heartbeat. This is why we exist. Okay, the first few verses that I read today, Jesus tells his disciples of what's coming. And by the way, they are so confused and so just don't understand. In fact, even when it all happens, he's plainly told them at times, hey, listen, guys, everybody listen up. I'm going to be handed over to sinful men and I'm going to be put to death. But 3 days later, I'm going to raise. And then when it happens, they are so surprised, right? They are living in the moment. They have Jesus with them. They don't understand all that he's talking about. We've got the rest of the story, right? But he's talking to them and he's telling them, and he even says these words, where I'm about to go, you cannot come. Not right now anyway, right? There's still work to be done. All keeping in mind that he is about to do this willingly. He's about to lay down his life willingly for the sheep. And he's telling them, hey, this is what's coming. And where I'm going, you cannot go. But listen to this. He says this, that just he has just washed the feet. And even later, they're going to know, man, he washed Judas' feet. After what Judas did, he still, and he knew that he was going to do, and he still washed feet. He sends him on his way. And then I want you to listen to these words. Think about this. The closest people to Jesus, I mean, they have been in the thick of things. They have seen miracles. They have seen all of these wonderful things. And he's just washed feet. And then he says these words, a new command I give you. Can you see them kind of the edge of their seat, right? He's going to give us something new, right? Like Charlie, he's going to give us this new command, this deep teaching, this all of this. And by the way, listen to me. He is teaching and talking to a culture that is very much eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You stab me in my back, I'm going to stab you in yours twice, right? Like, that's the law. That's what we do. Like, it's got to be repaid just like it was, this whole grace thing, this idea of washing feet. Are you kidding me? Right? Especially Peter. Right? You said it last week, Charlie. You got to love Peter, right? I mean, he gets to a point where he says that. He says, you're not going to wash my feet, right? But then he says, well, if that's what it takes, then wash my whole body, right? Like, you love his passion, his excitement, all these things. But at the same time, I guarantee you, Peter is one that when he finds out about Judas, he is the one that wants to betray him. He is the one that wants to go after him in those ways. But Jesus says, guys, gather around. A new command. You've heard about the eye for an eye. You've heard about the tooth for a tooth. A new command. I believe that our God is a God of personal relationship. So he wants to get personal this morning. I want you to picture, I want you to think about the person that maybe even right now is actively doing you wrong. A new command I give you. Not an eye for an eye, not a tooth for a tooth anymore. A new command I give you. Man, this is so good. Listen to me this morning. I pray if you're distracted, I pray if you're thinking about something else, just listen, not to my words, listen to the Holy Spirit this morning. Jesus says, a new command I give you, to love one another. All right, now listen. If he stops right there, then it is so open for interpretation. You can say, well, what does it really mean to love somebody, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I can wish them well, or I can send them some candy, you know, a box of chocolates, you know. I mean, that's the least I could do, right? No, listen, he doesn't stop just right there. It doesn't stop at a greeting card. It doesn't stop at, like, when you walk by them just not wanting to kick them, you know, as they walk by, kick the cag on them, like as we used to do when we were kids, right? None of that stuff. It doesn't stop there. He doesn't just stop at saying, but you need to love one another. Listen to how he finishes this statement. He says, this new commandment I give to you, what's up, that you love one another. Here's what he says. Just as I have loved you. I want to tell you, deeper words have never been spoken to this group as they are sitting there and they are letting this truth sit in. By the way, it's not just the washing of feet. They have just actively seen this. They have to go back to the idea of Jesus walking up to a leper that they, you know, had to walk into a city and shout the words unclean coming through. Unclean, like get away from me. And Jesus walks up and touches them. Love one another as I have loved you. To the prostitute that the religious would say, I can't be around them. Like their sins might rub off on me. Like I can't do that. I can't be around them. Love one another as I have loved you. To the tax collectors that everyone hated, right? Love one another as I have loved you. He called one of them and made him one of his best friends. To the demon-possessed, the ones that the people were scared of, he healed them. Love one another as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. I want to take you to a time in your mind, and I want you to have some extra biblical imagination with me here. Anyone ever lost someone close to you? I've used this before, but I want you to think about it. What we do as human beings, it happens, it is natural, and it is good, and it is healing. When we lose someone, I want you to picture back to a time in a normal world. Don't think about COVID times, but back when we used to gather together in buildings and have different things that we used to. Hopefully it's coming back to that one day, but as you picture a funeral, you picture a moment. And then you have the funeral, and then without a doubt, you would go back to some kind of gathering. Listen, we're in the South. There's going to be casseroles. There's going to be fried chicken. There's going to be all of those good things, right? My buddy Stephen Shirley was here. He would say, chicken with all the fixings, Jesse, right? All of that stuff. But what did you do? You sat down, and you had these conversations. Man, y'all remember that time that granddaddy did this? Y'all remember that time that grandmother, you know, told us this? You remember, man, like my granny. I know your grannies are great. I know all that stuff. But I know that they didn't make biscuits like my granny. Like, it's they're in heaven, like waiting for me, you know? I just know. Like, you picture back. You have these nostalgic moments. You think back. You have these stories. Do you not imagine the disciples having those moments when Jesus is hung on a cross? 3 days has got to pass before he's going to raise. They don't understand everything that's happened. They think he's gone, man. This guy that did everything with him, they think he's gone. They've left their lives. They've left their livelihoods to follow this guy, and they think it's all said and done. And they've got to be gathering around, and they've got to have those moments. Do you remember when he touched the leper? God, do you remember that? You remember when he told us to cast the nets on the other side and the catch was so big that we had to have help pulling it in and he just smiled? Do you remember the time that he healed the demon-possessed person? Do you remember the time, water to wine? All of these things, they had to be having those moments. Can you imagine, though, the time when they sat and said, do you remember when he gave us that new command? Do you remember the time he told us to love one another? And I can just picture these little mini light bulbs going off, although the fact that they didn't know what light bulbs were. But I can just picture those aha moments, and they're sitting there and thinking, it's like, guys, man, maybe it was Peter. Maybe it was John, the beloved disciple, that said, the day he washed our feet, man, he washed Judas' feet. Love one another as I have loved you. It was something that was going to mark them. It was something that you and I are here today because of this love. That is what this place is about. Listen, you may not know me. My name is Keith, and I'd love to meet you if I've never met you. I don't mean anything out here compared to what Jesus does. It is about him. No other person out here is taking credit. This is the family of God. Jesus is the pastor of this church. He is the head of this church. It's about his love. Right? All we're doing is trying to do what he says. We are trying to, everybody that walks in a line here, everybody that walks into this parking lot, no matter their story, no matter their race, no matter their sexual preference, no matter any of those things, I don't care about any of that. What I do care is that everybody that comes into this parking lot is met with the love of Jesus like he loved that we love others. So I pray that this place is a place where feet are washed. I pray that this place is a place where the wounds are bound. I pray that this place is a place where the captives are set free, that he's binding up broken hearts. That's what this place is about, this new command to love others as Jesus loved. It's him. But the great thing about it is it doesn't stop with just this little church, man, this little gathering here of people. This is just a foretaste of glory divine, that he is inviting you into relationship as sons or daughter, and it doesn't matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do. The grace of Jesus can cover it. You could have been on the highest of highs last night, the drunkest of drunks, still a little hungover, and I'm telling you this, his grace is enough. Love others as I have loved you. I can imagine those ragtag group of people. By the way, you know that, right? Like the disciples that he called, it wasn't just this, you know, theological, like, juggernaut group of people. It was fishermen, it was tax collectors, it was normal people. In fact, I think of the book of Acts, and they say, they look at some people and they say, well, these are just uneducated men. Like, how are they talking like this? It's the Spirit of God. And he calls these people, and I imagine them sitting there together and having this moment, like, love like he loved. Do y'all remember when? This is our marching orders. This is what he's called us to do. Can I make it personal and ask a question this morning? Who's done you wrong? What's that person that when you walk by at work or you walk by at your camp or and you just say, man, I can't stand that dude. I can't stand that woman. You believe what she did to me? Only thing I can tell you is that his example says wash their feet. Now, maybe not literally. That's kind of weird in today's terms, right? Like, you ain't going to just walk up and smile. You walk up and try to wash my feet in this parking lot, like, it's just going to be weird. Like, it's not our culture. But, man, how can you? How can you serve them? How can you love on them like Jesus loved the church? And then, man, the cherry on top, if you will, I want you to listen to what Jesus does. Goodness gracious, if this isn't timely, man, our world is a mess right now. Somebody was talking about seeing something on the news. Michael, we were talking about that. I said, man, I don't even watch the news anymore. I can't. I can't stomach anything. And that's not political at all. It don't matter what side of the aisle. I don't like either one of them, honestly, right now. It's just all division. It's all hate. It's all anger. I can't process that. I love our country, but let me tell you, this is not my home. I'm just passing through here. There's a home waiting for me. There's a kingdom I belong to that works on the economy of grace and mercy and love like he loved, right? That's all I'm concerned about. The rest of it's just temporary. There's a day that this nation will be no longer. You know that, right? Like, don't be involved. It don't mean try to make this place a better place, but there is a greater kingdom. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Maybe it's me. But he gives the lost world a barometer, a gauge, if you will. Think about this. Love one another as I have loved you. And then he follows with these words. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. You know what? I'm not a smart guy. I sound like the great theologian Forrest Gump right there that he says, I am not a smart man. I think he finished, but I do know what love is. So how appropriate, right? Thank you, Lord. So the words of Forrest Gump, I'm not a smart man, but I do know what love is. But listen to this. He could have said right here, I want you to memorize all the scripture you can. I want you to be the deepest thinker. I want you to be the greatest theologian. And by this, Charlie, they will know that you're my... I want you to be a good boy and girl. I want you to keep all my... I want you to just don't mess up. Don't say that word you shouldn't. Don't drink too... By this, all people will know. I want you to go to church every week. I want you to say the right things and be real religious. And by this... Listen, he says, love one another as I have loved you, wash feet, serve people, take care of people, love on people, and by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. He gives the lost world the gauge to say, if you want to know who's real, you want to know my people, look for the people who are serving and washing feet. Bottom line, that's it. That's the gauge that he gave us. Anybody know who Fred Rogers is? You may not know him by that name. He went by another name. You know, Mr. Rogers? I won't sing the song, but you know him, right? He had a statement after 9/11, and he said this, that in scary times, he's talking to kids, but man, this applies. In scary times, look for the helpers. You ever heard that when he said that? Look for the people helping. You can count it. Like, man, every time where there's something bad that happens, look for the people that are helping. Church, man, I'm telling you here. The lost world, if they are looking for something, man, let them be looking and find those who are loving and loving well. Let's point them to Jesus. That's all we got to do is love people. Let me tell you, that person that you hate, that person you can't stand, that person that gripes you, if you can't do it right now, like if you're just at a place where you say, man, I can't do what you're asking me to do right now, invite them here and let the others kind of wash their feet, right? And then maybe God brings you into that, right? Let's point them to love, man. That's the thing that's going to change hearts. That's the things that's going to change lives. And so we point them to this. I want to close with this thought, and I'm going to ask for some to help me. But I want you just to think in these terms. I want you to think about this morning. Because immediately, some of you right now, you're going to say this. Man, if I just do all this serving, I do all this loving, and I just do all this washing of feet, who's going to look out for me? That's what we think about. Let's just cut through the religious stuff and we just say, man, if I spend all this time serving, who's going to look out for me? Who's going to look out for number one? Who's going to do it? I mean, really, that is a question that probably a lot of people are thinking. Say, man, if I do all of this, I'm going to be forgotten. Who's going to look out for number one? And many just stop there and they say, well, that's all pie in the sky. That's Jesus. And man, if I do that, then I'm just left out. Can I get a little help this morning? Is that okay if I call? Charlie, would you come up here just a second? Michael, would you come up here a second? Jeff, would you come up here a second? Hey, Freddie, can I borrow you a second? I'm putting you on the spot. I want y'all standing in the line right here just a second. Let's see. Hey, Leon, can I borrow you a second? Just a couple of y'all. Y'all in trouble now, boy. You don't even know it. I want y'all just to line up in a line right here. And I'm going to read a passage. And I want to tell you, if you are here this morning and you say, man, if I serve others, what's your name, my friend? Jeffrey. All right. If I serve others, who's going to look out for me? All right, I want to read this passage. So this is in Philippians. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy. This is Paul talking to the church of Philippi. Of being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, do nothing from rivalry or conceit. Goodness gracious, does our world need to hear this, right? Jason, you can come up here if you want. He said, no, you ain't putting me in this. Do nothing from rivalry, conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. All right. All right, guys, I'm going to step out here in front of you just a second. Watch my cord there. I don't want to cag you up. Let's see. Hold on. Jason, you got it. Just move your foot one second. There we go. All right. Everybody with me? Everybody listening out here? if I just serve and wash feet, who's going to look out for me? Can I paint a picture of the beautiful portrait of the church of Jesus Christ? All right. If my brother Michael washes the feet of Charlie, who washes the feet of Jason, and Jeff takes care of Freddie, and Freddie takes care of Leon, and Leon takes care of Jeffrey. And by the way, Jeff, I'm sorry, you'd have to do this. And Jeffrey comes back and takes care of Michael. Let me ask you a question. Who's left out? Not a single person, because everybody has washed the feet of somebody. Everybody served to somebody. They don't have to look to their own interest because someone else has said, you know what? Freddie is more valuable to me than me. Doesn't mean that we don't have self-care or take care of ourselves. There's plenty of scriptures of that, of valuing who you are. But if I take my brother Freddie and say his needs right now are more important than mine, then it doesn't matter, man, because you know what? I know this guy. He's going to turn right back around and say, you know what? Keith's needs are more important than mine. Who's missing? Let me tell you, in this place, I'm just going to go on and throw some prophecy out. I feel that this is going to be a year that we look back and some amazing things have happened in this place, in this city, and God is going to use the church at Southside. Nothing about me, nothing about these, nothing about you, but Jesus is going to do something with this kind of mentality that spreads like wildfire, because Jesus left us and said, if you want this city to know, by the way, Birmingham, if you're listening, I kind of like that echo. What's up, my man? If you are listening this morning, love one another as I have loved you, then the world will know that you are mine by this. That's it. That's the only gauge he gave. And he gave it to the lost world and said, if you see people loving one another, by the way, I'm going to have to get political for a second. I don't ever talk about politics, but God's leading it. If somebody voted for a candidate I didn't vote for and can't stand, and I still wash their feet, what does it matter at the end of the day? I'm going to tell you, everybody here is welcome at my table. I don't care who you voted for. Don't care your beliefs. Don't care none of that. Y'all know this is a temporary place. Some of us act like this is the established thing and it will always be. This is passing through, but there is a kingdom that lasts forever. It's Jesus. Why not let's spend our time washing one another's feet and letting these people pass by, see it just grow and grow and grow. Invite somebody here that needs their feet washed. Invite somebody here that's done you wrong. In fact, let's just pray and ask God this. God, bring people to my mind that have wronged me, that have hurt me, and let me be the bigger brother or sister and wash their feet. If Jesus did it to Judas, who was about to betray him, Republican, you can do it to a Democrat, all right? They ain't gonna bite your head off. Democrat, you can do it to a Republican. It don't matter if they got a Trump flag somewhere still flying it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Wash feet. Doesn't matter. Consider others as more important than yourselves. Can we get that? Like, that's it. Black, white, straight, gay. I don't care any of that stuff. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Love people. Put one another above yourself. That's the gauge. That's the barometer he gave. If you want to know my people, you will know those who love one another well. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. And we pray that we would be people that love people well. It's all we ask for. If we do that, we may not have the best theology. We may not have the best teaching. We may not have the best food. We may not have the best. All that's immaterial. It really is. It boils down to, can we show this city, this county, this state, this nation, our world, whoever watches, whoever hears, whoever, can we just show the love of Jesus? Love covers a multitude of sins. Let us love well, and then everything else from there. Not saying those other things aren't important, that we don't want to be excellent. That, all of that. Yes, we do. But we want to let love lead the way, and then everything else is taken care of. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples, by how you love one another. Goodness gracious, if the church can't get this, then how in the world will the lost world get it? Let us lead the way with love. Let us love one another. I love these guys that are in this example. I love this crowd. I love the people that are here. It's the highlight of my week. I love what you're doing here, Jesus. Let love continue to lead the way. And even more so this coming year of what you're doing, what you're expanding, what you're growing, just partnerships and friends and all of these things. Jesus, we want love to lead the way. I want to pray this in closing. If you're here this morning, you're a believer. And you know that there's somebody that, man, that is in your heart that, man, I can't stand that guy. I can't stand that girl. Jesus, will you let love lead the way in that situation? Break down those walls. Love, it is hard to hate somebody. Even if it's somebody on TV that we don't know, but we just attach the word hate to them. Maybe that's the political thing. Maybe that's just somebody. If we have attached the word, I hate that person. Break that down in our hearts. Let us wash feet. Even if it's somebody we'll never see in person, will you help us in our mind, maybe even visualize that, of arming ourselves with a basin and a towel, washing that feet. In fact, I'll say this. If there's somebody we can't visualize being able to wash their feet, then that's the problem. Let us be able to just picture that. Let us wash feet. Let us ask, you know, be able to give forgiveness to people maybe that can't even ask. Maybe some of those are 6 feet in the ground and been there for 20 years that we need to forgive, and in our mind say, you know what, I'd wash that person's feet if they were here right now. Let love lead the way. Let us be known as that, and putting others' interest is more important than ourselves. Jesus, that is the example you gave us. Even to the point of death, it says death on a cross. If you're here this morning and don't know him, Jesus, please, I beg that today is the day that love enters into a person's life, that you just make yourself known to them, that they accept you as Lord and Savior, enter into this love relationship with you, because that's the only way this is possible. This is not just a human nature thing. It is supernatural from the Holy Spirit of God that we can love in this way. With your spirit, I will say this, with your spirit, God, we can wash anybody's feet. It's there. It may have to be worked on. We may have to pray for it, but we can do it. We can love with the same love that you've shown us. Let this world, let this city know by our love that we are for sure yours. That they could say, man, that's weird how they do this, how they do that. But one thing's for sure, they love well. Jesus, that's all we desire. We love you. We thank you. We pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank y'all for y'all's help.
Changing, you are perfect.